peer group pressure is quite a thing for young people, always has been, but particularly these days, when through social media, they're all networked together 24/7, and yet the answers they're getting about life's questions from their peers aren't always the best ones. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome again to the program as we take a look at some burning issues confronting our young folk with my special guests, Janelle Knox and Cho Brereton. And please do stick with me because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called Your Complete Makeover Awaits. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you lay hold of the abundant life that Jesus died and rose again to bring you. Anyone who's young enough to remember back to their late teens or early 20s will probably remember the pressure to conform. We call it peer group pressure. Fortunately, by the time you're in your 90s, peer group pressure is not so much of a problem anymore. But when we're young, it's a powerful force in our lives. As new generations come up through the ranks, each one somehow decide to have their own distinctive mark in the way they choose not to conform to the norms of their forebears. And hopefully, not always, but hopefully as we grow and mature, peer group pressure becomes less of a force. But I know that as I think back to my late teens, early 20s, it was a huge deal. Cho Brereton and Janelle Knox, welcome to the program again today.
Thanks you, Bernie.
Now, young as you both are, everything's relative, right? I'm 53, so you're young with a capital Y. As you think back to those years in your life, what do you remember about the whole peer group pressure?
I remembered most of not fitting in. I mean, I look different because obviously I'm African origin, but it was just a really horrible time. I mean, if I wasn't like what everyone else wanted me to be, then I just totally got kicked out. So I had no friends for a very, very long time when I was younger. That was the biggest thing I remember.
What about you, Janelle? Were you one of the beautiful people or did you feel
Actually, I was telling Cho the other day that I remember for a really long time I was a really chubby kid, played lots of sport, but really quite a chubby kid. And so growing up, always wanted to be, you know, in that popular group or whatnot. And I had a faith back then. We were brought up Catholic. And I remember praying to God and just sort of saying, I just want to be pretty. I just want to be pretty one day. And I think that that's the cry of any young girl's heart. They just want to fit in. They just want people to love them. They just want to have, you know, for people to value them. And being pretty is one of the biggest things. I think that is an issue when you get to school and there's the popular crowd and they've got all the attention, maybe not all the good attention, but you just go, I want to be that person.
And so how have things changed from when, I guess, we were all younger? We didn't have social media. We weren't connected to our friends 24/7, but now they are. To what extent has that got an impact on the whole peer group pressure thing?
It's just intensified the whole process. So it doesn't go away. And so we could come home and you'd have a bit of breathing space, but now it's there constantly. Yeah. And it's almost like they have to check their Facebook. And I heard there was research done recently where kids aren't sleeping well anymore because they're constantly checking their Facebook. They have to just know what's happening. They have to know what's being said about them, good or bad. And so they're having sleep issues. Sleep deprivation is a really big thing, which obviously then leads to other issues such as depression and all of anxieties. And so it's this one big vicious circle. It's horrible for them. I think looking and seeing what they have to go through, the things that are up against them just seem so insurmountable sometimes.
So, Cho, what are young women saying about the whole peer group thing? Is it on the whole positive for them or do they see it as being negative?
Well, I think that a lot of young women find it hard to assess peer group pressure because they're right in the midst of it.
Yeah, that's a good
point. So I think what it's easy to say peer group pressure is good or bad once you're out of it or once you've got a perspective that's actually a little bit higher, a bit like a crow's perspective. But whilst you're in it at the moment, it's very hard. And of course, their friends matter to them, which they should. But, you know, not all their friends are good. So the issue there is really about, you know, what their friends are asking them to do and whether that sits comfortably with them or not. And of course, it doesn't sit comfortably with them all the time. Sometimes it does when their friends are good and integrous, but other times it's just hard and they want to fit in, but what they're being asked to do, you know, or be is quite challenging. So,
and I guess when they have these questions about life, which you do as you're growing
absolutely
up, I mean, we always have questions
course,
about life,
but, still.
But particularly at this time, and they go to their friends, they're not always going to get the best answers, are they?
Absolutely not.
No, and that's what we're finding in the research that we've done is that peers are asking peers. Mm. And so instead of going to that outward perspective, going to a, you know, like a role model or a mentor or a parent or a youth pastor, they're just cross-pollinating. They're just asking the questions of themselves, and they've got nowhere to actually find that answer then, because they're all in that search. They're all on that road. And so they're really struggling to find that truth in amongst all of those voices that are speaking to them. And I think that's where we've discovered that, you know, they really are seeking. They really do want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them really do feel like they're just being barraged by what's out there in the social media and in media itself and in life in general.
It's, one of the tragic things is I think our families, our wider families certainly have disintegrated. Mm. I mean, we used to have afternoon tea with my grandmother every Sunday afternoon when I was a kid. Yeah. And I used to sit there and listen to the stories about when my father grew up in Romania and they'd talk about stuff, and you kind of got stuff out of that. Mm. Whereas now there's a disaggregation of that family unit. And even in church, we have the youth service at night on Sunday night. And then the families are there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then the old folk are there at 8 o'clock in the morning. We kind of split them all apart.
Actually, on that, Bernie, it's absolutely true, because in West African culture and Ghanaian culture, aunts and grandmothers are very integral units of the family, because when you can't talk to your parents, you go to your favourite aunt or you go to your favourite grandma. But in Western culture, and I've lived in Western culture all my life, but I can definitely see there's a huge difference. You know, if parents can't answer the questions, then really Auntie Sue, who lives, you know, 100 miles away, isn't going to be able to do that either. So it's very interesting you say that, and I think it's very true as well, that extended family is very important.
And Generation Y are really struggling to find their place, because I do think that there has been that breakdown just of the family structure. Two parents are working, there's lots more single parent homes. It's that place now where they really are looking to social media. They really are having to look to their peers to find the answers, because that's what's around them. Mm. That's what's there for them.
That's very accessible
to them. It's very accessible.
And sometimes we still carry this picture of the nuclear family around in our heads as though that's the norm.
Yeah.
I heard a statistic the other day. In a small country like Australia, population, what, 22, 23 million, 1 million children live with only one of their parents.
There you go.
Then that's a devastating statistic. Absolutely. 1 million children. So where do they go? What does God have to say about friendship? What does God have to say, if anything, about peer group pressure and friends?
Well, God says a lot about friendship, and he talks about, we're looking at Proverbs 26, 27 as a reference for, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And I think that when you come down to it, friends that you know can be trusted, you know your core friends, and you know the ones that you want to go to when you want to ask them a straight question and get a straight answer. You know the ones you want to ask, oh, how does my hair look today? You know the ones that you want to ask, oh, you know, what's that boy like? So I think they know integrally, they know which class of friends that who they're hanging out with fall into. But, you know, they're so important to them. The girls that we've researched, their friends are an absolute part of their life. And we were talking, you know, remembering our girlfriends, and they do. They make up your core.
Ephesians chapter 4 verses 14 and 15 say, we must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. I look at that, and I kind of, my translation, my paraphrase of that is that in looking for friends, we're looking for someone who's going to stab you in the front and not in the back. Mm. Someone who's going to tell you the way it is.
Absolutely.
Rather than someone who's going to tell other people about how horrible you are.
Yeah.
And I'd have thought in this whole peer group pressure thing, one of the pieces of wisdom that we might be able to bring to the table here is that choosing your friends is a really important thing.
Yeah.
All right, we're right out of time. We're going to catch up again tomorrow. We're going to talk about something else important, which is body image, but that's tomorrow on the program.
Wherever you're at in life, young or old, rich or poor, happy or sad, listen up, because I have some good news for you today, some great news. Jesus died and rose again, yes, so that your sins could be forgiven, but also to give you a brand new life, a transformed life of freedom and joy and peace and power. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Your Complete Makeover Awaits, and it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the abundant new life that Jesus died and rose again to bring you. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on the offer, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.